Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our summer show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the great music of the city of Paris in a brand new musical play by Lawrence and Lee. It's Springtime in Paris, starring Gordon McRae and his guest star Dorothy Warren Show. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another delightful musical premiere is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, sir, tonight we're traveling to the most romantic city in the world for a delightful musical love story. I'll be the boy, and Dorothy Warren Scholl is the girl in Springtime in Paris.
All the time at the office, staring at the typewriter, I never really saw the keys at all. A, S, D, F, shift key, space bar, semicolon, dollar sign. Yes, Mr. Benson, right away, Mr. Benson. I'll type up the invoices immediately, sir. Original and 7 copies. But all I could see in the typewriter was a face. Up by the roller, his hair, wavy, like Louis Jourdan. Where the ribbon is, his eyebrows, like Jean Sablon. His eyes were tabulator keys, and they stared up at me like Jean Gabin. And the space bar was his lip, just like Charles Boyer. Oh, that's why I did without nylons and skipped 2 lunches a week, so I could save up enough to come to Paris and maybe meet him to Paris in the beautiful month of April. April in Paris. Chestnuts in
Mike Martin, and I am stuck in Paris. I'm an ex-GI overseas who decided to stay overseas. Now I can't get home, and at the moment, the most romantic place in the world to me is the good old USA. Why did I stay here in the first place? Well, I was looking for a girl. You know the kind of girl I mean. The girl you couldn't meet any place in the world but in Paris. Simone, Simone, and Michelle Morgan. With a little Danielle Dutter thrown in. Way beforehand, you can see her. You know the color of her hair, the way her eyes will look at you. The kind of girl you have to go 3,000 miles to meet. But I haven't met her, so I'm working as a waiter. A French waiter at a sidewalk cafe. so I can make enough francs to get back to the States. And mister, when you want to go home, even the left bank and springtime and Paris and April are unromantic. Well, almost.
April, Paris, chestnuts and blossom, holiday tables under the trees. April in Paris, oh, this is a feeling no one can ever.
Michel.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Where do you get this Michel stuff? My name's Mike.
If you wish to work here in my cafe, you must be Michel. Paris is full of rich American tourists. When they come to sit at my cafe under the trees, they do not wish a waiter named Mike. You are Michel.
Okay. From now on, I'm Michel, you big lummox.
What is this expression, lummox?
Oh, it's a new American saying. It means bon gentilhomme. A fine gentleman.
Oh. Merci. And now to work, Michel.
Oui, Monsieur Lamarck. I be so many chevalier that even his mother won't know the difference.
Our first customer, go quickly. A young lady at the front table.
A young lady? Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Huh? Oh. Bonjour. That was all we said, just bonjour. But we kept staring at each other for the longest time. And I knew it was the face in the typewriter. I knew it the minute I looked into his wonderful, romantic tabulator keys. His eyes. Oh, he was the most romantic Frenchman in the world.
Ah, mademoiselle. An April day in the city of Paris can be full of clouds. Or full of fat American tourists. But then a lovely girl like you walks into one's life. And how you say it, you see the world through rose-colored glasses.
Hold me close and hold me fast. The magic spell you cast. This is La Pierrot. And though I close my eyes, I see La Vie en Rose. When you press me to your heart, I'm in a world apart. And life will always be
Paris to meet. Now I had to be Michel. A girl like that, she'd never fall for a plain Joe named Mike Martin from the USA. Seraphine de la Croix. Who could ask for a more romantic name or a lovelier girl?
Seraphine de la Croix. My gosh, I just made that up on the spur of the moment. Because I just couldn't tell him I was plain old Sarah Jones from the USA. I knew how much these wonderful Frenchmen resented rich American tourists. Of course, I wasn't rich, but I was a tourist. And gee, his nose and his lips. Well, they never looked that wonderful on my typewriter.
Suddenly it was springtime.
The whole world was alive. We walked arm in arm down the Champs-Élysées.
It was April, and I was in love.
In love.
Return for the second act of Springtime in Paris in just a moment. Remember the good old days, the days when a dollar was still a dollar and when it wasn't so hard to stretch your income to cover your outgo? That problem of making ends meet is particularly difficult if your income has not increased as much as prices generally have gone up. Now, that same problem is a matter of real concern to America's railroads. It will cost the nation's railroads over $1 billion more to provide this year's transportation service than it would have cost even at the wage and price levels of 2 years ago. And in the past dozen years, the percentage of increase in the prices railroads must pay for the materials and services they use in producing transportation has been more than 3 times as great as the increase in the average revenue they get for hauling a ton of freight 1 mile. Today, railroad freight rates, when compared to prices generally, are actually lower than they were before the start of World War II. What's more, these mounting increases have come at a time when the railroads have been spending at the rate of $1 billion a year to expand and improve every part of their service. And this year, with expenses still increasing, the railroads are committed to spending another $1.25 billion in order to produce better the quantity and quality of transportation that is essential both for defense and for civilian needs. As the head of any family knows, there inevitably comes a time when his ability to absorb and keep on absorbing continually rising expenses becomes exhausted, unless he earns more for his services. That's the situation which faces the railroads today. The satisfactory solution of that problem is of paramount interest not only to the railroads, but also to the nation which depends on the railroads to supply the bulk of its essential transportation service. Is Act Two of Springtime in Paris, a love story set to music, starring Gordon McRae as Mike, alias Michel, and Dorothy Warrenshould as Sarah, alias Seraphine.
Paris in the spring, love is in the air, life's a love affair, and every pair of arms are on their
own. Oh, how I practiced up on my high school French. So Michel would never find out that I was just a stenographer named Sarah Jones instead of the glamorous Seraphine de la Croix.
Me? I even tried to grow a beard to make me look more French. But it didn't make me look more French at all. It made me look like a bum. So, barefaced, with my heart dangling on my sleeve, I was Michel, the romantic Parisian. We went everywhere.
Everywhere. He introduced me to Paris.
Mademoiselle, permettez-moi. Allow me to introduce an old friend, a lovely lady. 2,000 years old, it is true, but as young as you, lovely Seraphine.
Meet the lady known as Paris, France, halfway half aristocrat. Greet the lady known as Paris, France, kiss her hand, click your heels, tip your hat. Hear the beating of her happy heart, smell her perfume in the air. Taste her bitter sweetness a la carte, touch the flowers that she wears in her hair. She is old, she is young, she is every song you've ever sung. She's the lute, she's the gal.
She's a plain, a pal, she's really quite a gal.
Watch the lady known as Paris, France. If you're frightened of romance, she may give you just a song and dance, but you will fall.
Kiss your hand, lift your heels,
dip
your hat.
Watch the lady known as Paris, France. If you're frightened of romance, she may give you just a song and dance, but you will fall. You'll fall in love with Paris, France.
Oh, how do you do, Paris? Come on, Talibou.
But the time was coming when I had to go home. I tried to spend my money so that I wouldn't have enough to go. But, well, you can't keep make-believing for always. I knew that this was only a moment, only a month of April. A passing spring. And finally I had to tell her. Seraphine. Seraphine, I must go away.
Where?
Across the sea.
You're joining the French Foreign Legion?
No. No, my sweet.
Well, tell me where you're going.
I cannot tell you. But I shall watch the sea and dream of you. Every time I dream of something lovely.
Oh, but there can't be a whole ocean between us. Not again.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing.
Somewhere beyond the sea, he's there watching for me.
To visit Eloise and Abelard.
Who?
Two of the world's great lovers. Long ago, before Romeo and Juliet even, they fell in love.
now they sleep side by side in a little cemetery called Pierre Lachaise. And all around their monument, the pebbles are shaped like tiny hearts.
Eloise and Abelard.
And they say, if you take one of the heart-shaped stones, no harm can ever come to your own true love.
Oh, that's so lovely. Take me there, Michel. Quickly. Now. Oh, it's so beautiful. I want to cry.
Listen. They say that the very wind calls their names.
Mustn't go away.
I must, my sweet. But here, take this heart-shaped stone.
And you take one too, Michel. Dear Eloise, dear Abelard, don't let anything happen to our own true love.
These heart-shaped stones of white and brown are keys to dreams.
Continue my tour of Europe. Museums, cathedrals, lace exhibits. In a few days I shall head home, alone. Here, close to my heart, is a little heart-shaped stone. But it's only legend. Things like this don't mean anything in real life. I'll never see him again, I know. Maybe it's for the best. Because never in a million years could I tell him that I'm not Seraphine de la Croix, but just a stenographer at Benson's department store in Omaha, Nebraska.
And here I stand at the rail of a ship heading home. And I watch the moving sea. In my hand is a heart-shaped stone. I'll never see her again. But how could I ever tell her that I'm not Michelle? I'm just Mike Martin. And that when I get back home, there's a job waiting for me. As a stock clerk at Benson's department store in Omaha, Nebraska.
Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, and thanks to our entire company. Springtime in Paris is an original musical play by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroad.
You know, Gordon, I just found out some things about you I didn't know. All good, of course.
How's that, Dorothy?
Why, I just read the August issue of Radio Television Mirror. Your secretary, Betty Cooley, really did a wonderful behind-the-scenes story about you and your work on the Railroad Hour. And I especially like that big, smiling picture of you on the front cover.
Well, Dorothy, I guess the secretary gets to know her boss about as well as anybody. And she did do a mighty fine job. Thank you, Betty Cooley.
Where will we be next week, Gordon?
Well, we're going to dig for gold, Dorothy, up in the high Sierras. But next Monday is the world premiere of Roaring Camp, a new American light opera set to the thrilling music of Anton Dvorak.
All aboard!
Well, sir, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so until next week, this is Gordon MacRae saying goodbye.
MacRae can soon be seen in Warner Brothers on Moonlight Day. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. Now stay tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
Here, Igor Gorin on the voice of Firestone, next on NBC.